This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome back to another edition of Pistons Thoughts. I'm your host, Jordan Letterman, and today we have our special guest, Tyler Dunn, back. He is the man who sold Dion Waiters those gummies. Tyler, welcome back.
How are you doing? I'm doing a lot of great work for Mr. Pat Riley. As everybody knows, $24 million is owed to one Dion Waiters. That is 10 games we do not have to pay him. That's a nice little bit of money back towards the cap. So when we get that nice little veteran sign in the February time, it will be great. We'll get a nice veteran on that veteran minimum when we're fighting for the playoffs. So you guys are welcome. Pat Riley, slide
right,
in the paycheck.
All right. Enough about
slide
the heat.
Slide it
enough
into the
about
paycheck.
The heat until later.
Slide it in my pocket, baby. 1.2 be real nice for those student loans.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about the Pistons for a little bit, and then we'll go into the general NBA, your little specialty, but I'd like to get your thoughts on some of my thoughts on some of my Pistons' thoughts. Ba-dunch. That's crazy. So, the Pistons are sitting at 4-9 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good start considering they've had a really easy schedule to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two huge things, actually three, turnovers, defense, and injuries. Pistons are second worst in the league in turnover rate. They're fourth worst in defensive rating. This team couldn't stop you and me from getting to the basket if they had everybody they've been playing on the floor. It's not good. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one to say let's tank. I'm not one to say let's panic. But every bad loss at this early in the season, we're inching closer to panic mode.
Are you ready to hit the panic mode button? Are you nervous, Jordan?
What I've done is I've taken off the plastic casing around the panic button, and it's ready to press. I think things are not as good as I want them to be. Especially, here's the biggest problem, is the Pistons have had a really easy schedule so far, and it just gets brutal the second half of the year. And I understand you got some injuries, some big injuries, but that's something that you need to play through. But here's the sort of excuses I'll make for them. Blake Griffin has played two games this season. Rusty as hell.
He is the Blake of the year, by the way. Blake of the year.
Right, exactly. He's coming off of that. You got to give him a minute to get recalibrated for the NBA season. I mean, playing two games is pretty much his preseason, so it's going to take him a few more games to really get into it. Reggie Jackson has been out for most of the season as well, and that leads to a lot of the turnover issues. A lot of people don't like to admit that Reggie Jackson is important to this team, and I understand. He's been injured the last three seasons. He's a big part of our success and our fails. But he's your best ball handler. At the end of the day, he's your starting point guard. You need him healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And our boy Derrick Rose has also been hurt, also been turning the ball over, but overall, he's been fantastic. But at the end of all of that, 4-9. It's not going to cut it. Even in the weak Eastern Conference, it's not going to cut it right now.
Well, the thing that hurts the Pistons, and this is just my perspective on it, is that you want to have a close to 500 record against your own conference, because we all know what the West is made of, right? If you have a winning record at home and a halfway decent conference record, especially in the East, that means you can go against the Lakers, you can go against the Clippers, and you can go against these top teams in the West and lose to them. And just pick off the bottom of the barrel, like the Memphis Grizzlies, for example. You can pick them off. You can win a couple of games. Go on a nice little roll. You know, the Warriors, who would have thunk a number one team last year in the NBA Finals and only got two wins on the season, are on pace for a lottery pick. And, oh, by the way, guys, that's top five protected. So the Warriors could come back next year, roll it back. Russell, they could roll back Klay. Cousin Draymond.
You think D'Angelo's going to stay there for the year? You think he's there through the year?
It depends on how good the offer is, by the way. If an offer comes in good, and I mean, think about it. Paul George is getting, four first-rounders from the Clips? I mean, if that's what the going rate for an injured star is, and Russell has proven that he's had a really good season with Brooklyn last year and a good start to this one, obviously injured for the next 2 weeks, but it could be pretty possible. But back to the Pistons. You have to have a good conference record. That is important. And what really hurts them, you can't be losing to the Bulls, and you can't be losing to the Wizards. That's big.
Or the Hornets.
Well, Yeah, especially.
I mean, I know they've been playing well. Don't get me wrong, but you can't lose that game.
You got to beat those teams. I mean, you beat the Pacers twice. That's a team that's going to end up making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. That's good, but you can't follow it up with two defeats to two poorly coached teams like the Wizards and the Bulls. You just can't.
Speaking of poorly coached, I am a big Dwayne Casey fan for the most part. Really happy that he's here. I think he's set a great foundation. He has done some great things with our young players. But his in-game adjustments, basically what got him fired from Toronto, are infuriating. But here's the thing. I know it's tough. You have new guys coming in and out of the rotation every game, seemingly. You're without your three of your five best players. And so it's tough, and I get that. And I'm not understating that. But some of his in-game adjustments, when you can't do anything defensively, you got to switch it up. When you're playing Thon Maker over Christian Wood consistently, who Thon, for the most part, has been absolutely useless, he's had two decently solid games, and I understand Christian Wood has his defensive issues. He's lost some possessions, he loses his assignment, and can't really figure out where he's supposed to be. That's a problem, I get that. But you know what you get with Thon.
Yep.
With Christian Wood, there's a huge offensive upside. He provides a spark. In every game, seemingly, Thon Maker comes in the game. He's last year's Jose Calderon. He comes in the game, the lead evaporates, and that's the end of the story. But his rotations have been not the best in-game. His adjustments in-game have not been great. Game-to-game, he's been fine. But in-game adjustments, he's cost us a couple games. And it's tough to put blame on a coach, again, who's playing without three of his best five players. But Dwayne Casey, he needs to learn how to make these in-game adjustments.
And as you mentioned, it's one of the reasons what cost him his job up in Toronto. And which, you know, and the crazy thing is, what was he when he got fired? He was the coach of the year. Hold on.
Yep.
The man was the coach of the year and they fired him, right? They were like, you know what? I don't think this is a championship contender coach. And that's not being mean to Dwayne Casey, but that just kind of tells you that where he was in the vision of the hierarchy in Toronto. And you mentioned it, injuries, big problem. You know, when you don't have an all-pro basketball player, a guy that you can count on day in and day out, like Blake Griffin, and you have a proven scorer in Derrick Rose, and the injury problems have been an issue. And you can take a little grain with that, but like we mentioned, you can't be losing games to teams you should be beating, especially with the expectation was, what is it? This is the stepping stone. This is one of the big building years to building that foundation to get out of mediocrity, to get themselves back into the upper echelon of the NBA and the Eastern Conference. Pistons have been known in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, as one of the grit and grind teams, one of those teams you don't want to face, a team that should have won two NBA championships, by the way, putting it out there.
Yep. It hurts every time.
It's just history. You know, I went into a deep dive, just putting this out here. I was doing a Rashid deep dive, and I know Jordan was probably not expecting me to text him on a deep dive on Rashid.
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you, Rashid, nowadays, that guy, max player, if Tyler Johnson's making $50 million in today's NBA, Rashid's making at least 300 stacks. Without question. 300.
Especially in his Portland days.
Well, he should have won a chip out there in Portland, too.
Oh, yeah. Jailblazers.
That team with Pippen. But, yeah, you start the season. It's not a great part of the season. You mentioned it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. But you guys have also played a lot of back-to-backs. I think that is something that's hurt the Pistons, too. And I think
they played the most games in the NBA.
Yes, and that is also something that hurts a team as well. But I would rather have all my back-to-backs and have a majority of my back-to-backs in the first, month and a half of the season than having it in the last 6 weeks of the season, which is something.
No, I do agree.
Yeah.
But is the hole might be getting too deep. So here's the thing. Here's a silver lining, sort of. Last two seasons, the Pistons started out really hot. Last season, they started 13-7, but they finished 41-41, struggling for the eighth seed. Year before that was a 14-6 start. Great start. 8 games over .500. Ended up 39-43. Missed the playoffs. So, you know the old saying, the old cliche, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yep.
That's true. But whatever the excuses are, 4-9 is still not a good start against a weak schedule. But there's time to get out of this. And the hole, you're five games under 500. The hole isn't too deep. No. You've been unhealthy most of the time.
And you'd rather be in this hole now, like you mentioned, than going into the All-Star break, right? Let's say they claw themselves back and they're in the sixth seed by the All-Star break. Then you're happy. Then you know it's like, hey, we got something here. This is looking good. Right. But if you're in the same situation come February, that's the big issue. That's when you look at Dwayne Casey and you look at everybody on the team and say, okay, how much can we get for Blake Griffin?
Right, exactly. Well, there's a lot of people panicked already. And what? When I say panic, I don't mean let's blow it up right now, trade everybody. Well, but there's a lot of people who think that way right now.
Can I just ask you a question? And I don't want to be mean to my Michiganders, but... But why are you so worried? This team is the one that's on the up and coming. This isn't the Cow. This isn't the Lions. This isn't the Red Wings. Obviously, the Red Wings are in a better situation because they got one of the best GMs and presidents of operations instilled there who built the Tampa Bay Lightning basically to what they are now. Not a big deal how successful they've been in hockey. But this is a team that's probably, if you're going to put any money on a team to finish in the playoff position and be in the playoffs, it's... this team, it's the Pistons, and I don't understand why, if this is 25 games in the season, hell yeah, get that panic button, slap that thing.
Sure.
But you guys have only played 13 games, right? Right. The Celtics lose their first game of the season, they win 10 straight. There's going to be a point where they're going to lose five games in a row, and they're going to be their record could look like they're 10-6. That's a possibility. You guys can go on a heater right now. Right?
It's true. I mean, especially with everybody getting back healthy. Blake, knock on wood, is back to health. Derrick Rose, knock on wood, is back to health. Reggie's getting reevaluated in 2 weeks. But, yeah, I think that panicking makes no sense right now. So here's the thing, is something that can happen is nothing. Because December 15th is the deadline, right? That's when you can start to have these little panic thoughts. December 15th is the date that every free agent signed this summer, which is majority of the league,
yep,
is available via trade. Even further, teams don't get desperate until that February deadline you were talking about, where the Portland Trailblazers say, we need Blake Griffin, we're going to give up Anfernee Simons, first-round pick, and so, because we need this final piece to make this push with Dame and CJ right now.
And Hassan Whiteside,
your boy, of course.
I still can't believe Portland took Hassan Whiteside. That is one of the worst contracts in the NBA, and they took all of that.
Yeah.
And we, Pat Riley, I swear to God, that man, he's able to wheel and deal. He can sell shit to people, and he can go to a farmer and say, you need this shit. This shit's the good shit. And they're just like, you know what? The shit I got in here, it may not be as good as your shit. It's like selling snow to an Eskimo. That's Riley with people in the NBA. I mean, when you're partying on the yacht with Dwayne Wade and, you know, getting your group thing on, getting that dance moves going, I mean, he's dripping, baby. He's a drip.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Riley is the godfather. We'll get into the heat.
Kiss the rings, baby.
Later. We'll get into that. Don't you worry. But
don't you worry,
again, it's like there's nothing you can do right now as the Pistons other than hope you get it together. You know, turnovers are fixable. A lot of them have been careless turnovers. It's not like a systematic flaw that leads to turnovers. It's not having your starting point guard, but other guys are starting to step up, I think. Bruce Brown, who offensively is really limited, but he's not bad in terms of turnovers and running the offense as Point Bruce, as we call him, for the most part. But he's still new to it, so he's going to have those games where it just doesn't look good at all. Derrick Rose is back now, so he saves us from Tim Frazier, who's been a big disappointment. I thought Tim was going to come in. He had starting caliber skill and those numbers last year, and he came in, as everyone does to Detroit, and forgot he knew how to play basketball.
Yeah, that's an issue as well. But looking over the next six games from now until the end of the month, you play Hornet. You play the Hornets twice. You play the Magic at home. You have the Hawks at home. You have the Bulls, which is an up-and-coming Wednesday. And you have a Saturday against the Bucks, right? 5-1 in that time. You can go 4. It's a very big possibility that this team could... you guys can wheel and deal and get yourselves in a good opportunity, right? From the Bulls to the Hornets, you can win those games. Those are winnable games. The end of this month, from the 20th to the 29th, six games, one contender, the rest outside looking in on a playoff spots and teams that aren't going to be in the playoffs. We could be looking at this team too, and it's not going to look too bad and be in a playoff spot.
And two of those games, or three of those games, the Hawks, Bulls, and Hornets are teams we've already lost to this year. So hopefully we're looking for revenge and just coming out hungry. That's something this team needs, is they got to turn their hunger and desperation up. That's got to come right now, because you lose to these teams, you have a losing record with those five, six games, and it's panic time. It is. If you don't inch any closer to 500 in this stretch and the losses don't look good, it's time to panic, and you have to really think about doing something come December 15th.
Just looking at the schedule, this is just an idea. I don't work at the league office, but it's kind of silly that the Pistons have a home game on the 25th, then travel to Charlotte on Wednesday the 27th, to then travel back home, to then host the Hornets at 7 o'clock on a Friday. I'm just gonna put this out here. You could go from.
The NBA schedule makers absolutely hate Detroit, and I hate
them. They smoke a lot of weed, or they take some very, very good edibles.
You got to stop giving gummies to people in the league office, man.
Swear to God, man. I might be hitting them upside the head like Miles Garrett on Mason Rudolph. That's probably how your schedule...
Oh, man.
That's how your guys' schedules ended up having so many back-to-backs and these goofy scheduling things. It's just logistically, when you look at it, it's just like, you're telling me you couldn't just get the Pistons on them Monday, then a Wednesday and a Friday. But obviously I understand you got the Red Wings, they could be playing on that Wednesday at home, but still,
right?
It makes sense to keep them up. Just keep yourself there. You can pay back-to-back games and then have that Friday in Charlotte, since you guys are, it's just one of those things.
There was a stat the other day about the teams that have played 12 games so far at the point before Friday, and the Pistons were one of a few. Combined record of those teams was 24-48. The Clippers are the only team that had a winning record at 7-5 at that point.
They didn't even play their best player.
So that says something that should be semi-silver lining, that like, this has just been a shit schedule. You've been dealing with injuries. Schedule in terms of the actual schedule. The teams you're playing are the easy part, but the schedule part is not. But I think there have been, even through all of this, the nonsense, the bad losses, there have been a couple pretty nice silver linings. You got Andre Drummond, who for the most part has looked like the best center in the league. There have been a couple games where he got into some stupid foul trouble. He knows better. He's got to improve on that, and it's taken him out of games. But other than those couple, he has been an absolute beast. My personal favorite silver lining is Luke Kennard, because I tried to tell everybody every chance I got last season, make the playoffs. Don't get the 14th, 13th pick and miss the playoffs. Go get that 15th pick. Make the playoffs. Give your guys like Luke Kennard some confidence in the playoffs. He was our best player in the playoffs since Blake was hurt. And now he comes out this season through 13 games, averaging 18 points a game, 4 boards, 4 assists, shooting 41% from 3. He's been assertive like 85% of the time, which is up from like 30% of the time from last year. When he's assertive and he takes shots, good things happen. And I think he is solidifying himself as a really huge staple in this future.
Oh, and he looked really good against the Timberwolves. I think he had like
every game.
I think he had like a 25 spot. Yeah, 25 spot. I mean, that's what you want, right? You need to find some diamonds in the rough, some gems. And when you can see a guy who does it in the playoffs, right? When let's be honest, more teams are playing harder in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. Yep. And when you're able to translate what you do in the playoffs to the regular season, as we've seen with Siakam up in Toronto, you have a guy that was averaging 7 points 2 years ago to now a perennial all-star kind of caliber player. And I'm not saying Luke Kennard is going to be going from 7 to 25, but you were talking
about... He went from 9 to 18 so far.
Which is a huge leap, but also his ability to spread the floor, hit the three-pointer... Especially in today's NBA, J.J. Redick makes a lot of money hitting three-pointers and standing in a corner.
Oh, yes,
he does. And Luke Kennard could have one of those careers that he can be a good starter on a great team, as we saw with J.J. with the Clippers. And we can see Luke develop into this great 20-plus a night and just be a goddamn assassin when he's hitting those jumpers.
Yes.
And I know, I see it on the Twitter,
music
too.
Music to Pistons fans' ears.
Well, here's the crazy thing, is that I look on my social media and there's a lot of Pistons fans that I follow, and the Luke Kennard fan club is alive and well. Trust me, I see it.
Yep.
Did you miss it? and he'll say Pistons thought, and he'll say Eli, and he'll say all these people, the people that come for the support group, and they're just, it's a Luke Kennard fest. I swear to God, it's grown men like they're on Pornhub and they're looking at Mia Khalifa. It's basically Pistons fans when they look at Luke Kennard on Twitter. It's,
oh man,
the impressions that that man gets, it's a big, it's huge. And I know he's listening right now, Luke. Listen to my sweet voice. You are the Mia Khalifa of Pistons Twitter.
I got nothing to say to that. But other than Luke Kennard is pretty much someone, and Derrick Rose are two unanimously loved people on Twitter, on Pistons Twitter at least. I mean, you still have the section who's like, oh, Luke's not Donovan Mitchell. And like, no, he's not. And I get that. Donovan Mitchell is the all-star, understandably. But Luke Kennard was not even close to a bad pick. And as we're seeing now, he's a great facilitator. He can be a primary ball handler in the offense. He can be, at some point, I can see him in the next year or two being a really, really good second option on a team. Maybe one day he gets to number one. Jury's still out on that. But, I mean, Luke Kennard is the man, and I'm excited about that. But you mentioned Siakam, and I'm going to mention our number 15 pick who gets a lot of comps to Siakam.
Yep.
Sekou Doumbouya.
Who's with Grand Rapids right now, and he's been having a pretty good season down there in Grand Rapids in the G League as well. I've been seeing a lot of great stuff about him.
Exactly.
And I know everyone's like, well, why isn't he playing? Yada, yada. Sometimes you want, have a draft pick like that, you want him to play 25, 30 minutes a game. You don't want him to be playing 5 to 15 minutes in games where it's a blowout.
If that.
Exactly. You don't want him to be under that stress and duress of having to, oh, I only have 7 minutes, I need to go out, and then he just goes 1 of 7, and you're like, okay, do we have a bust on our hand?
Ooh, he's a bust. Yeah,
it's not good for him. It's good for him to go and play 25 minutes, 30 minutes in the G League against people that he's a little bit better than, and he can assert himself, work on a few moves, and it obviously will elevate him whenever the Pistons decide to bring him up to the big roster and let him play, you know, meaningful minutes. And if that means the Pistons are out of it, or that means he just got hot at the right time, and then Pistons have themselves a huge commodity because he can be a six man, especially with his range and everything. He looks like a player. And if he does become what Siakam was in the playoff last year for Toronto, whoo, baby, that's a good 15th pick.
I mean, look, something you also have to understand is he's 18 years old.
Kid.
He's coming over from another country. Everything is new to him here, right? A, even just as an 18-year-old, if you're not coming from another country, it's a huge leap from college to the NBA or anything to the NBA. You know, you have so much travel. You have so many more games, more practice time, all that fun. But he's coming over from another country, so there's a huge learning curve instead of in terms of English, communication, basketball language. There's a lot he has to learn. Mm-hmm. And something, the most promising thing to me, is that each game I've watched in the G League of him, he looks more and more comfortable. He's starting to know where he's supposed to be in more situations on both ends of the floor. He can score. He's got some raw talent that you cannot teach.
And it's the intangibles.
It's starting to become refined. Yeah, exactly.
It's the uncoachable things. Those physical attributes, you can't teach it. And it's one of the things that the Bulls saw in Jimmy Butler. They saw this guy that had great work ethic, who was getting 9 points a game, and look at where Jimmy Butler is now, a max player in the NBA because of hard work and dedication.
Exactly.
And that's something that could help the Pistons as well, is that, remember, you guys aren't playing to win now. And I think sometimes fans are like, well, my 15 pick, he's not playing, he's not worth it. It's like, well,
at least not with him.
Yeah. But there's a lot of fan bases. Well, my draft pick, my 7th overall guy, he's a bust because, well, he went 2 of 13. He ain't worth it, man. Judge him 2-3 years from now. If he's still in Grand Rapids 2-3 years from now, then you can get your bust out. But we know he's not going to be there in 2-3 years.
No,
and that's the thing. Are you guys winning the NBA title this year? No. So shut the fuck up.
Support for Big Heads Media comes from Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas, listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. These products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxer briefs. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and your friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BIGHEADS at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGHEADS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code BIGHEADS. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. I wrote an article about this on Piston Powered. Mentioned it on my last podcast. The Pistons have...
unrealistic expectations.
The Pistons, yeah, they just have a decision to make. Come either December 15th or the trade deadline, are you going to go out and grab another All-Star? Do you have the assets and are you willing to use them to grab him and win now with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond? Or is it time to start over? And maybe you don't have to go full rebuild, but that means you move on from Blake Griffin. You probably don't re-sign Andre Drummond. And you build around Luke Kennard and Sekou and Bruce and just hope that that's a good enough nucleus with the assets you get, you know, to rebuild, retool. So they have that decision to make. You can't make that right now, as we said. It's way too early and there's no point to make it now. You got to see how this team looks healthy.
How many years does Blake have left? Is he a free agent in the summer or is he 18 months?
Nope.
He's 18. So you still have him for another year and a half before you really have to make that choice.
Right.
And the problem with Blake Griffin is that if you're going to get rid of Blake, you have to get rid of him probably this winter because his value goes down because he's a guy with injury history. Even this season, he's missed every game but two. And that's what's going to hurt them in their valuation. But if you can get a team desperate enough and somebody that's willing to just cash it in.
That's what I'm saying about February. You got to wait till then because that's when teams are like, ooh, we really need that last piece. Blake Griffin is an all-star, played like an MVP type player last year, and he is the missing piece right now if he can stay healthy.
He's the difference between a 45-win team and a 35-win team. He really is.
Exactly.
And that's a huge difference in the NBA, as we both know.
But also, you're looking at a team who might be like, ooh, we need a big man, Andre Drummond, right now on an expiring deal, not a huge commitment to him right now. If he helps, you give him the bag. If he doesn't help, I guess you let him walk. People are going to get desperate, and Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond are going to be attractive to teams who think that they're a piece away from contending in this wide-open league right now.
This is just me shooting a shot into the dark. Where do you think Andre Drummond would end up in February if someone traded for him? Like, I'm trying to do, like, the analytics in my head of, like, who would actually trade for him. Like, I can see Boston. Like, that's a possibility.
Yep, they need a bit. I mean, he would after losing Al Horford,
yeah, he would be great. I mean, he doesn't have to play, but he can start and be just an absolute monster.
Right.
You know,
someone like Toronto.
Toronto could use him, but
depending on how they're doing.
And the Milwaukee's got the Lopez brothers, so you probably rule them out as well.
I mean, someone who I think would be a perfect spot for him this summer, not necessarily trading for him, is Atlanta. You pair him with John Collins and Trae Young. You give Andre Drummond an elite point guard, and I promise you Pistons fans are going to be absolutely livid at what he accomplishes with that.
I know who wants him, the Mavericks. This could finally be Mark Cuban getting his DeAndre Jordan.
Ah, okay. I could see that.
This time, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin won't lock him in, you know, his house after he's committed to a deal. This time, we both know that Mark Cuban will be able to get his guy.
Because here's the thing, and we'll have this conversation. I could see that. But we'll have this conversation closer to the deadline, but The problem is you're not going to get a ton for Dre, but at the same time, you can't let him walk for nothing. So here's the options with Dre are you play out this year and you commit to keeping him, and this leads you to higher than an 8th seed. You can't be an 8th seed 2 years in a row. It's just not going to work progress-wise with this group. Mm-hmm. And you keep him. Or you know, February 15th or for whatever the deadline is this year, that comes closer. You're not in a position to win, and I think it's time. And we'll see. Again, it's not time to hit the panic button right now, but we're getting close, and things could go one of a few ways. If the team can't stay healthy, it might be done. If the team can stay healthy, then I still truly believe that they're going to be in a good spot fighting for the 5th and 6th spots in the East.
And that's where we want the Pistons to be at.
So let's jump general NBA. Who are your biggest surprises so far this year?
I think we have to say it. It has to be the Lakers. They're definitely number one on the list. I don't think any of us thought these two stars would come together. And LeBron, in year 17, as everyone has to mention, is dunking on people and putting them on posters. Jeez,
that was nasty.
No one saw the Lakers going 10-2 to start the season. You just don't. Obviously, Paul George has his debut for the season for the Clippers, and I mean, he was as efficient, 36, 37 points. I mean, absolute monster. Celtics with Kemba, 10-1.
Hey, you did not think. You thought they were not going to be in the playoffs, and man,
I'm not a Kemba guy. I'm not a Kemba guy. I'm still not a Kemba guy. Maybe it's the systems. Brad Stevens is able to get the best out of him, but we looking at Malik Monk, for example. Malik Monk is taking that step, by the way,
sure,
with no Kemba Walker. So we can look at it that way. And I think, obviously, the Heat have definitely jumped out.
Yeah.
I mean, no one anticipated 9-3, especially when Jimmy missed the first couple of games of the season. I think everybody was like, oh, is he having issues? Is Jimmy beating up on the other star players on the team? Is he embarrassing them
the
with the backup?
3 a.m. workouts?
You know what? He's hustling. He's rubbing off on the young Chicagoan, Noon. And for me, you know, obviously I'm loving the Heat as the one true Heat fan. In November, I don't need I'm not turning games on in March, just putting that out there. If I lived in the Miami area, not the Orlando area, I would show up. But for me, it's got to be Lakers and Heat. I don't think anybody really anticipated that, and the Celtics. I mean, if you really look at the West, the Suns. But when you keep on drafting lottery picks, eventually it's going to work out. These pieces are going to gel. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you would think.
I'm not surprised. This is expected. This is what should happen. I am sorry. As Stephen A. Smith would say, they're giving me an aneurysm. They should have been this way. I'm sorry, but when you are the number one pick, the number two pick, the number three pick, you need to finally put it together. It frustrates me, because when you fuck up on purpose, like they fucked up on purpose, and they didn't even do it. It isn't like, okay, let's explain it. The process was to tank to get good. The Suns tanked because they're morons. There's a big difference in philosophy.
But the Suns have been surprisingly really just solid.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
I got to give you three Western Conference teams. The Suns, the Mavericks, and Timberwolves.
No.
Timberwolves look like they're legit for the first time in a long time.
No, when you get punked by Joel Embiid, don't come at me and say, oh, they look...
Did he get punked?
Hell yeah, he got punked by Joel Embiid.
Oh, no. Cat followed that up.
When he's going on Twitter...
He followed that up being a flopping little fish in the Detroit game a few games later, so I don't have all that respect for him.
Cat's
I wouldn't say
punk.
He got punked by him.
He got punked by him. When Joel Embiid, who's busy eating fucking ice cream cones and slices of pizza, who can't even play 60 games, is punking your ass? I'm sorry. Come on, Cat. You're supposed to be this generational talent, but your ass got punked by Jimmy Butler. Hold on. When he takes two top picks, right? Cat was number. He was one of one. Wiggins was one of two. And your ass gets punked by Jimmy Butler? Your team's not serious. You're the 8th seed. Congratulations. You've played yourself. You haven't been.
We'll see.
You haven't
we'll
been
see.
Good since
They've
Garnett.
Looked good. They've looked good.
Yeah,
but
I look good too.
Back to
when I look good too. Don't get me. Don't let it be tripping. I can look good too. Sometimes you look good in the right light. Let me tell you, that 7-6 looks good. But let's be honest. They're more likely to finish with a losing record than a winning record.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just had to go off. I just had to go off.
Little tangent, always acceptable. So, Melo to the Blazers.
It's good to have him back in the league. It's good to have the whole banana boat in the league. I'm a big...
Is it going to work?
No, it's not going to work.
But it's good to have him back.
It's great to have him back. You know what? We're going to get a couple of pictures with him with the hoodie on. We're going to get all jacked up. We're going to feel real good about ourselves. We're going to be like, oh, look at Melo hitting them threes in the corner. But no, it's not going to work out. It's kind of like when the Pistons should have drafted him and they would have won a title probably with him.
Well, Well, if they drafted him, they probably don't trade for Rashid, who we got to talk about earlier.
But they probably would have gotten Rashid because he would have, remember, NBA was different back then. Maybe would have affected the minutes Tayshum would have gotten, but they still were too really good in 04 and 05, so they would have at least
won. Larry Brown wasn't a rookie guy. Yeah. I don't think he was going to play Melo that much. I mean, you saw the Olympics that summer, too. He just, him and Melo, just it just wasn't working.
I just think Melo would have been better off in Detroit.
Long term, absolutely.
Raise your hands.
Would not have got
my
off
fellow
to
Detroitans,
start.
My Michiganders, raise your hand.
No, I agree.
Raise your hand
I agree.
In support of Tyler. As we say, Melo's career should have been 100 times better because we saw what Melo
yep.
did with one Chauncey Billups in
yep.
Denver.
Yep.
And we could have brought that to the great city of Detroit. And the Motor City basketball team would have been driving rampant through the mid-2000s into the 2010s. And they should have been having battles with LeBron, not the fucking Pacers.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I agree, but I do think it would have made the 24 title a little dicier. I think things right off the bat would not have been as good as they were, but I don't think we would have trailed off as long and hard as we did. We wouldn't have been in a decade of mediocrity,
nope.
I can tell you that, because either A, you just have Melo and you're a perennial conference contender, or B, by year 6 when things started to trail for the Pistons, or B, he wants out, fine, and you get a good package back. And you can actually properly rebuild, because that's something the Pistons have not done this entire time. And I get it. I've been resisting the last few years. But right away, I would have rather rebuilt than got Charlie Villanueva and Ben Gordon.
You said it.
But here
you
we
said
are,
it.
10 years
you
later.
You said it, I didn't.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, yeah. I'm always anti-tank. I think tanking is ridiculous, especially with the new lottery odds, because tanking doesn't reward you as much as it used to.
Yep.
But, again, this year, I'm still never going to say tank, but it's time to make a decision in the next couple months. Here's the thing, though. Things could turn on its head. The Pistons might have an offer available where they can grab an all-star type player to pair with Blake and Dre, and then you have a really good team.
Yep.
I pose this question. What happens when Andre Drummond becomes the third best player on the team? You have a contender, or at least a conference contender, depending on who the other player is. So this team is closer than people think it is to being good, but they're also an injury away from being in the bottom third of the league again.
You also have a Giannis problem.
He's really there.
You got a Giannis problem. You don't have a Ben Simmons hitting three-pointer problem.
Oh, no.
You just have a Giannis problem.
Oh, God.
Problem.
I trust Andre Drummond shooting threes more than Ben Simmons. And because here's the thing. I don't think Dre's had a
did you see that video
season,
from him? By the way, someone recorded him. He was just bricking three after three after three. It was kind of depressing, not going to lie.
Look, Ben Simmons is a really good player. You can't deny it. But it's just shooting doesn't look like it's ever going to come around for him.
Well, it's great that people have finally stopped saying, oh, he's the next Magic, because let me tell you, it was embarrassing when people were comping him to Magic Johnson.
Yeah, but it is what it is. Long story short, summed up this podcast, the Pistons are in a difficult position. They have a decision to make. Things could go really good coming up, or it could be the end of this.
Kind of like Matthew Stafford in Detroit.
Yeah, there's a lot. Detroit sports are not in the best place in the world right now.
Oh, by the way, just going to put this out here. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the Eastern Conference.
Fine. No argument from me.
I just like saying that out loud because it's true. You just have to speak it into existence.
I will let you do that. And with that, we will wrap things up. Tyler, thank you for hopping back on the show. Pistons fans,
no,
I promise you that something's going to happen, good or bad, is what it is. We'll figure it out together, and that's the journey.
And I ordered my pizza, so, yeah.
So the day keeps getting better. All right, Tyler, see you next time.